Good morning, and welcome to Martin Seminars Network. I'm Bob Martin, and today we'll be discussing after the layoff. What about those left behind with professional speaker, consultant, and trainer, Cindy Chernow? Cindy holds a graduate degree in counseling with a specialization in career development and has spent many years in human resource management with Simmons Corporation and United Personnel. Before starting her own consulting practice, Cindy served as the Director of Alumni Career Services for UCLA's Alumni Association and has also performed as a career advisor with the UCLA Career Center. Welcome to the program, Cindy.
Thank you so much, Bob. I'm delighted to be here.
Now, from what you've observed, what are some companies doing now to cope with the changes we've had in the economy?
Well, I think there are a myriad of different attitudes and beliefs in the workplace. I think the companies that are really taking a progressive approach to concentrating on those employees that are being left behind, not just those that are being laid off, are really the ones that are going to have the competitive edge. As we look at downturns in the economy and what's happening with companies in general, I think the philosophy that companies must emerge with foundational changes are going to be key. You know, we've created a new type of watering hole, and we have to keep it from drying up. In third world countries, people used to gather around the watering holes to talk about what's happening in the villages. Today, we're using our watering holes as a place where people congregate. I'd like to see us have positive messages going on there.
How are some of the companies, or how are some of the employees using the watering hole now?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of them are using them to share their frustrations, their concerns. We have to understand that when employees are laid off, those that are being left behind see it as a death in the family. Every one of them react a little differently. Some are losing a friend, a colleague, a mentor, a boss, but they will all react differently. Some of them will be fearful. Some of them will be angry, in denial, frustrated. So they're sharing those negative feelings at the watering coolers, and what I'd like us to do is share some positives. I think companies can start doing that.
Yeah, what are the companies doing now that's not working, that's not dealing with that?
I think the biggest thing, communication is key. We all talk about communication, how critical it is and how important it is, but all too often we're giving lip service. When you think about the fact that statistics show that 73% of existing employees find out about layoffs in their company from an internal memo or from rumors as opposed to direct line contact with their management. That's pretty sad. So we need to start opening up those lines of communication to build trust, loyalty, and respect among our employees.
What are some ways that they can start to do some of that?
I think clearly we begin by talking to our employees, defining how work business processes and behaviors really need to be adapted to these changes, keeping them focused and informed, making them feel a part of the process so that they can stay up and stay positive. It's a rebuilding, and they need to feel like they're being a part of that. You can do that by helping them see opportunities, even forming some think tanks within those employees that are being left behind. How can we pull together and develop some of those processes for a positive end?
Now, those companies that aren't doing that now, what kind of payback are they getting from that? From those employees that are not involved in that process?
If they're not doing it, morale is sinking tremendously. There's no support for the company. They're left wondering, will I be the next one? When's the next shoe going to fall? If they can treat us like this now, how's it ever going to get better? There's no fun here. I think it's just an overall negative atmosphere. Companies, however, and I have seen this all too often, it's great. Companies that you would think, oh my gosh, why are they sharing so much information with their employees? Why are they telling their employees that there could be potential layoffs beyond that? They're actually getting the positive input. They're getting people that rally around them because they're more aware of the process and they want to help in that process.
And so the companies that have missed the boat, what are the symptoms that they see from the employees that are going through some of the changes that you just mentioned?
Low work product. Productivity is significantly reduced. There's no energy level. They're going to give them just what they can give them in the 8-to-5 mentality. There's not going to be much commitment beyond that, unless, of course, they're so worried they're going to lose their jobs. Then they're giving them the work, but their minds and hearts aren't in it anymore. So it's a disconnect completely between the employee and the company feeling. Now, again, remember, when employees are left behind, they're either left with too much to do and not enough resources, Or guess what? There's another one. They're left looking at all the empty chairs and tables and nothing to do and frustrated. So there's a lot of combined differences going on, but the product will be the same. The product is low morale.
Wow. Talk about that mourning process.
Yeah. You got to love them or lose them, as Beverly Kay once said.
The vast wasteland out there in the workplace. What are some other things that companies can do?
I think that they can really help them in the rebuilding process. I think that one of the key things is to make your employees recognize and realize that not everything is changing. We never really are going to return to normal, because I'm not really sure what normal is in the workplace anymore. We've made a major evolutionary change in the workplace today. We see more people telecommuting, and I think that will even be increased significantly. So I think it's going to be more incumbent upon these companies to help build some relationships with these employees. A lot of the work that I'm doing now is not only in terms of building the morale for those left behind, how do we get the good communication to start working, but how are we going to network our resources and our people?
Wow. What are some things that increase that networking, that communication with them?
You have to start looking across departments. We have been so insular in our way of thinking in a company. We have people that go to meetings and sit next to the people in their department. They talk with the people in their department. There's so much that can be learned if we open our ears and our minds to listening to input from people across the company, different departments. Start getting those people talking. Start exchanging those ideas and that information, and build a core network within your whole company, not just within your departments.
Wow, so breaking down that whole silo mentality, it sounds like.
Right. And I think what's also interesting is that people, when they start to telecommute, there is a sense of isolation. How do you keep that sense of isolation from happening, and how do you keep the connection alive within your company, within your people? One of the good ways to do that is to create networking avenues so that people can feel more connected with each other.
Wow, okay. What are some other things that you've come across that companies can do, or what does it cost them if they don't handle this effectively?
Well, here's the most interesting part about all this. Everything that I suggest to companies is completely free. Communication, networking, recognition, it's all free. It doesn't cost you anything. It's just learning a different way of talking and communicating. What is costing companies billions and millions of dollars is not doing it.
Oh.
They are losing their employees. They don't retain their good employees. They're losing their institutional memory. As these employees start leaving the company, they don't even wait to see the next shoe drop. They're leaving on their own because they're too afraid. So I think it's really costing companies millions of dollars not to do this.
Wow. And so it sounds like the companies that deal with employees are left behind are actually looking beyond the layoff, and they're looking farther in the future for investment and costs. Is that it?
Some of the really creative companies today, when they know that they're in a downturn and they know that the economy's bad, they're going to have to be laying off. They're actually saying to their employees, let's be realistic. Times are tough. Everybody really knows that today. They're asking their employees, is there some of you that might be willing to take a leave of absence, an unpaid leave of absence for maybe a month? Are there any of you that are willing to go part-time? There are so many people that are responsive to this and actually welcoming the chance to be a partner in saving their company.
Okay, so they're responsive to those types of initiatives, and how do they end up feeling about the company afterwards?
They generally feel like the company is their friend.
Wow.
I think it's making them feel a part of it. When you are in a company, and times are stressful now, and part of it is the uncertainty. Nobody likes change, but change is a part of our life today. So how do people adapt best to change? They adapt to change when they take baby steps, when they talk, when they communicate. I think it is really critical to allow these people to listen to their frustrations and their fears and their concerns. We want to cap it, obviously. It's not a pity party, but we need to hear what our people are saying. It's about building the relationships within your company.
Do you have any concrete suggestions for ways that they can build those relationships, like one or two or three steps that they can take?
One thing that's really effective that I'm starting to try, and it goes along with our networking, is to build some support groups within the company. And these, what you don't want to do is have people, again, sharing the negative talk around the water cooler. You want to build some support groups, and the support groups can be built upon think tanks, developing creative ideas, problem solving, and at the same time, they're really helping one another through this process of change.
So these support groups that you talk about are not just, well, I want to say, touchy-feely therapy type things, but they're actually working on projects.
Right.
The think tanks, the brainstorming, and
the interesting part, the touchy-feely, that's sort of comes as a result of it. We want to get their focus away from that and start focusing on the positive things that they can be doing. But a sense of comfort, a sense of belonging, a sense of support will be the outcome for these people.
So it sounds like this is something that companies need to work on before there's even a hint of a layoff in the future. This should be part of their integral culture?
Well, it would certainly be nice if we were a much more proactive instead of reactive society. And I think that for me, it's taken a long time, but I'm starting to really see the benefits of using my background in cultural anthropology, human resources, and career development now, combining the three to really look at the culture of the workplace. And how can we change those cultures? I've worked from the bottom to the top, from the receptionist to the president of a company as both a human resource director and doing career development, and I can really tell you that the communication goes across the board. And it's the networking, it's the ability to network with your own employees across departments and individuals that is going to separate the lines that currently exist between the receptionist and the CEO.
This is Bob Martin with Cindy Chernow from Chernow Consulting, and you're listening to the Martin Seminars Network. We'll be right back. Are you looking for ways to boost your career and get the quality information and training it takes to stand out in today's fast-paced world? At Martin Seminars, we take the goals of motivated people from around the world and provide the professional development tools to make those dreams a reality. Martin Seminars offers programs that are tailored to fit your specific needs. We are committed to your success as a learner and a professional. Martin Seminars programs are structured to take your new skills beyond the training room and into practice. Whether you're interested in time management, communication skills, teamwork, or leadership, or want to create a future for yourself in supervision or management, Martin Seminars has a program designed to launch you into fulfilling your potential. Our programs place an emphasis on business knowledge and are technology enriched to give you an edge in today's marketplace. Martin Seminars is committed to deliver training that is better, faster, and a higher return on your investment with success. Martin Seminars facilitators are carefully selected for their abilities to inspire as well as teach. They come from diverse backgrounds and combine business knowledge with current technical skills to provide examples your people need in today's marketplace. Martin Seminars places a strong emphasis on preparation and follow-up, preparing you for success in your field. From on-site, web, and computer-based workshops to self-instruction tools, books, tapes, and CDs, we are committed to guiding you through the maze of full and professional development possibilities. If you are already a professional with time commitments that don't allow you to attend traditional training, you can get the information you need in many of Martin Seminar's programs entirely online or at your own pace. Now is the time to fulfill your dreams for the future and get your career on the rewarding track with information from Martin Seminars. Let us give you the tools you need to compete and excel in the ever-changing marketplace. In today's workplace, information is vital to your success. Take a bold step into your future and contact us at www.martinseminars.net. That's www.martinseminars.net today. Welcome back. I'm Bob Martin, and today we're speaking with Cindy Chernow from Chernow Consulting, and the topic is, after the layoff, what about those left behind? I got to say, cultural anthropology, it sounds like a pretty unique background for somebody in this type of industry, and when you mentioned that, it just made me start to think about, the company or the corporate culture as a tribe.
Oh, it is. And when, that's why I said for me, it's really fun to be looking back now, way back on my bachelor's degree in cultural anthropology, and recognize that it's not just about studying, tribes from halfway around the world and from many, many years ago. It's really where have we come today in the workplace? The workplace is a family. Our nuclear families are changing dramatically. Well, so is our work family. and we have to change with that. What can we do to make our work families feel comfortable? Our people go to work today and they spend more time at work than they do at home with their own families. So we need to have that, a place where there's a lot of comfort, where they feel supported, and they feel a part. They want to be eager to help the company survive.
So the companies that are actually performing at their peak level, the ones that we read about and we hear about so often as being high-performance corporations, organizations, they really have that family or tribal aspect to them?
Absolutely. And today's survival of the fittest, I believe, seriously, is going to require a positive attitude. An attitude is so important today in terms of everything we do, but mostly in the workplace.
And that attitude can't be just commanded, right?
Right. Well, we certainly don't, you know, the interesting part is you hear all these people that come out and they talk to companies and they say, how are you motivating your employees? Well, you really don't motivate an individual. An individual motivates themselves. What we can do, though, is provide an environment where creativity and motivation are stimulated and encouraged. It's a safe, comfortable environment that loves to share ideas and information, and they're welcomed.
Wow. Creating that environment, too, is more than just a one-stop fix. Usually it involves like an ongoing process.
Right. It is not something you just wake up tomorrow morning. It's like when I talk to people about networking and they say, oh, my gosh, I don't have a job today. I better get up tomorrow morning and I better network. Networking is a part of your life. It's something you do every single day. It's integrated. You will never have to think about it again if you integrate it into your life. It's the same way when you work in a company. You don't wake up tomorrow and say, oh, quick, let's pull all the executives together. We're going to have layoffs. We have to figure out what we're going to do. If you're doing it right and you're doing it all the time, then your people will rally with you, not against you.
That sounds like that's the exception rather than the rule. Many people really do wait till the last minute, don't they?
Well, I hope that with my help with some of these companies, we're making this the rule rather than the exception.
What does it look like when a company comes to you for help? Do they, you get an initial call, and do you end up working with them over an extended period of time, or how's that work?
I've usually been called in to do a lot of speaking with their employees. Where I get concerned is that in almost all the classes that I teach, the common theme is, gee, our supervisor should have been here. They're the ones that really need it, whether it's meeting management or communication or motivating and influencing. I think the company that is really proactive, the company that really takes and gets the competitive edge, is the company that recognizes that it's a partnership with everybody in the company, from the top executive down to the part-time or hourly wage earner. We all need reminders and tools on how to keep it going.
And so if I had a company that had, I'll say, a lack of culture, you know, we have the water cooler concept, but it's not the best one. And I really want to start to kind of heal that culture or to grow it towards a more family type aspect. How do I start out with that?
Well, again, you have to build some processes for communication. And what I try and work with companies is I say, how are you communicating with your employees at this particular time? Are you sending emails? Are you doing voicemail? Where is the connection coming from? You know, we are more technologically sound today than we've ever been. We're more connected via technology than we've ever been. But I have to tell you the truth, we're simply not connecting. We are simply not connecting. So we have forgotten how to stand up and say hello to the person in the cubicle next to us because we're sending that person an email. We've lost the connections. So I first start with finding out how these companies are actually connecting with their employees. Who did they miss in that email? You know, what does it say? Who do they target? Who's listening? And the cultural diversity in our workplaces today really require that we spend a lot more time thinking about the messages we're trying to deliver.
And the one time that companies really start to think about those messages is when they're in the midst of a layoff, right?
Right.
And so they're sending people out the door and they really focus on how they're going to communicate to them.
Right. We're very reactive. We are very reactive. We just have a situation and we deal with it instead of really building the foundation. And I would hate to see so many of these companies. It costs 6 times as much to recruit a new employee as it does to retain one. That's a lot of money. So if we're talking about the possibility that we can save our companies today and we can help build them back up, we need to think about how can we retain those employees.
Wow. I came across a study the other day that talked about when the economy starts to improve that there may be a lot of worker flight. For example, you mentioned those companies that are left behind and the extra burden they are now under, that when the economy improves, they may end up fleeing the company just to go to another place. So the payoff for the companies in treating those employees well that are left behind is that...
Well, I think it's not just treating the employees left behind. That's my focus, obviously, is I work with displaced workers all the time. Now I'm focusing inside. But I think also one of the things that companies don't do is they don't keep an alumni database of their employees. It's very important to keep even those people that have left in contact, both as a networking process for employees that are still there, as well as for those that have left. Because when it comes time to thrive again, when it comes time for you to start rebuilding your companies, that resource can be invaluable to you.
Wow, an alumni database.
Yeah.
I never even thought about that. Staying in touch, even though you no longer work with that company.
Right. You know, there are a lot of companies that have done that recently. Deloitte & Touche, for example, Ernst & Young. They've set up directors of alumni to help them stay in contact with their own alumni. Very good decision to do that because these alumni then go to work for other companies and end up hiring them.
Wow. So we talked about some of the drawbacks for companies that don't do the things that they could be doing. What are about two or three like hot tips that people could take away that they could start doing right away to start to create that culture?
Well, let's take, for example, the airline industry, because everybody is so aware of what's happening in the airline industry. And I actually just completed a contract with one of the companies that service the airline industry and provided them with a customer relations format for their agents and managers. But I think that the interesting thing is, if you look at the big airlines today, the employees have had it. You know, they finally saying, we've given you all the concessions all these years to help you rebuild and refocus, but maybe it's poor management. So you ask yourself, well, how does Southwest and JetBlue, how do they survive? And maybe the answer is they've made their employees the priority.
Wow.
So I think that one of the things that we can't forget is that we talk about time management all of the time, but really, are we managing our time with our employees? I think we have to start out by assuming that our own employees have to be our top priority. We can't provide customer service to one another within our organization. How can we possibly provide it to others? The second thing is to really think about creating some support groups within your organization. And what I mean by that is possibly even some think tanks where you set up groups that have ideas that they want to share. They possibly have some new themes for you, new suggestions. Make them part of a process, understanding, of course, that rebuilding is a process and it takes time. But I think different perspectives add so much quality to your organization. And then the third and final thing is keep communication as the key. We are so busy today, multitasking. There isn't one of us out there today that can honestly say we don't find ourselves sitting at a keyboard, typing our emails, answering the telephone, or possibly trying to talk to somebody walking by our desk all at the same time. Somebody is missing our attention. And we are so busy multitasking that we're forgetting to really take time and listen. Listen to what people are saying. And so many of the mistakes that are taking place in the workplace today come from not just taking a breath, learning how to communicate more effectively, making sure that we validated that what we've said has been heard and understood.
I can understand why you say that this wouldn't be just a one-time event to learn some of these things, that it's kind of an ongoing process to build that culture. You know, you've talked about some of the things that companies can do. What does the environment look like for those companies that do those things? What is it like for the worker and for the management?
You know, everybody laughs when you hear about having fun in the workplace, and we're too busy to have fun. We're too busy not to have fun anymore. We have just gotten so far away from enjoying ourselves and our lives and the people around us. Fun is something that takes a second, and again, it's something that's free. We need to think about how do we pull together, and fun means different things for different people. So does creativity. So does motivation. We need to stop and ask ourselves, what is motivating one person and what's motivating another? I can't tell you how many managers don't even bother to ask that question. But the companies that do, the companies that take the time to really communicate with their people, are the companies that have the family. They have the family that is surviving and thriving. That is the key for tomorrow's workplace, not to just survive, but to thrive.
I suspect this is the case, but is it true that those companies that create that environment, a fun and very family-based environment, do they have a financial benefit from that?
The financial benefit is that they get employees that are committed. And what better, what company doesn't want a committed workforce?
Yeah, as opposed to an employee who should be committed, right?
That's right. I didn't say funny farms. I said have fun.
Bring out the jackets. Hey, how can companies make certain that they're aware of all the right questions to ask and they have the best answers? Because you just don't know what you don't know.
Well, there's a lot of resources out there, and I'd certainly be happy to talk to any company that is interested. They can reach me at 818-884-3212 or at my website, www.chernowconsulting, that's chernowconsulting.com. I'd be more than happy to take some calls and just spend some time with some of these companies, sharing resources and ideas.
That number went a little bit fast for me. Can you give me the number one
sure.
more time?
Sure. It's 818-884-3212.
And so you're open to talking to people that are looking for additional information and where they could start?
To.
Well, great. I sure appreciate that. This is Bob Martin speaking with our guest, Cindy Chernow from Chernow Consulting. I want to thank you for being here today, Cindy.
Thank you. It was my pleasure.
And mine as well. You're listening to the Martin Seminar Network.